mercy triumphs over judgment. Most people would write it all off and say, let the fire come down. Even the disciples, you want me to call fire down upon them? You know, they're all a mess. We're okay, but they're a mess. Let's call fire down. And God says, I have another plan. It's called mercy. Mercy, if you recall, when I taught on it, been quite a while, so we'll kind of rehearse it real quick. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. So if you draw a line, everything below that line, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. When God wipes that out, that's mercy. What God gives you on top of that, in the plus realm, is grace. This unmerited favor. So there's mercy and there is grace. Mercy is, in the United States anyway, in the judicial system, mercy is a legal term. If you're guilty of a crime and you're willing to plead guilty, you can also plead for mercy. If you don't plead guilty, you can't plead for mercy. Okay, James chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbors yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in one point, is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I know when many people, Colson, for instance, back in Watergate days, here he was, had committed this crime, put in jail, but then he's born again. And there were people, still are people, who are furious about that. And he's dead and gone. And they're still furious. That can't be. We won't stand for that. You know, he's got to pay for his crime. And of course, they don't understand. Jesus paid for his crime. Jesus died on the cross. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Without mercy, we're all done for. And so mercy triumphs over judgment. Judgment says you're guilty. Mercy says, I'm wiping it all out. I nailed it to the cross, covered it with the blood, and I've taken away, I've cast it away as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you anymore. Micah 7:18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. God delighting in mercy. And God says, but I have a plan. I delight in mercy. I delight. It's not just, I'll do it for you this time. No. This was my plan, to be merciful. This is what I want to do. I enjoy doing this. Wouldn't it be something if we could walk around the street delighting in being merciful? How often do we see people and we just write them off? You know, well, too bad for that one. Sorry you're a sinner. You know? What if we had the nature of God so much that we delighted in having mercy? That we would just, you know what? I really enjoy this. I have the power, I have the authority to forgive your sin.
That's right.
Remember I told you a couple of months ago that everyone in the whole world, their sins are forgiven. They don't benefit from it because they won't repent. But no one has told them that their sins are forgiven. Oh, we don't have to convince them of anything. We just have to tell them their sins are forgiven. We don't have to go to God to see about getting their sins forgiven. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. See? So he already dealt with it. He's already paid the price. Everyone in the entire world can have their sins eradicated.
Believe it and receive.
It's all done for. It's all paid for.
That's amazing grace.
That's amazing grace. And that's tremendous mercy. Now, people like Saul of Tarsus had no trouble with mercy because he had experienced mercy. Jesus' statement, Matthew 5:7, in the Beatitudes, or the attitudes that you ought to be. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What if we believed that? What if we delighted in mercy? We want God to be merciful to us. Are we delighted in mercy toward other people? How would you like to have been the prophet that had to go talk to Saul in Damascus? Well, this guy's out killing the Christians. You want me to go talk to him? I don't think so.
Don't kill the messenger.
And by the way, go tell him what great things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. You want me to tell him that? No. But he went in the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ for a man who had killed the servants of Jesus Christ. Of course, one of the places where we recognize mercy most is with King David. If there's anyone on earth that ever experienced mercy, it was David. He messed up so many times. And God continued to show him mercy. So when you come into the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Son of David. Every time you get this phrase, you can look it up in your own concordance, every time you get this phrase, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's saying the God, the blind man, saying the God that had mercy on David, would you have mercy on me? Matthew 15:22. Behold, a woman of Cana came from that region, cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. She's not even a part of Israel. She's part of the Gentiles, part of the heathen. And Jesus set the daughter free. That's mercy. Matthew 20:31. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet as the blind men, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So when we see mercy, we see David and the mercy and the mercy and the mercy and the mercy. But God delights in mercy. God is a merciful God. There are even Christians who get upset because God's merciful. They have prophesied gloom and doom, and God turns in his mercy, and it's like they're mad because their prophecy didn't come to pass. I've watched it over and over again. And how could you betray me like that, God? You know, I prophesied and then you turn around and you're merciful.
Kind of like what Jonah did.
Jonah.
That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He
got mad when God had mercy on Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got mad.
We want mercy for ourselves.
That's yeah.
Right.
We want it, yeah.
He wanted mercy on that plant back up there, too.
But that guy was so bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Luke 18:38-39. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Of course, we know what happened. Jesus stopped, went back, said, what do you want me to do that I might see? He opened his eyes, obviously showing great mercy. Romans 11:30-32. For as you were once disobedient to God, I think that kind of includes all of us, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, referring to the Hebrew children, because they had rejected God. It said, now their disobedience brought you into obedience through mercy. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience. God says, let's just call it all what it is. Sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God said, we'll just call it all disobedience. Then I can be merciful on all of you. And I can show you grace. Yeah. Jeremiah 9:24. But let them who glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. I delight. So even in judgment, he can judge. And he can say, you're all guilty. You're all disobedient. Now I'm going to pardon all of you.
Yep. Loving kindness and righteousness.
Yep. Ezekiel 33:11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? When God's standing there with open arms, saying, I offer you mercy, why do you want to die? You don't have to die. I'm offering you mercy. Psalm 25:7. Do not remember the sins of my youth, David pleading with God, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. And of course, I didn't put it in there, but in Romans 2:4, says the goodness of God leads to repentance. So when we begin to experience this mercy, then we begin to repent. See? When God says, I've wiped out all your sins, and then we can say, oh Lord, I have sinned and come short of your glory. See? And then we repent of our sin and we turn away from it. It's not just a matter of God saying, no, I'm just going to look the other way. That's not what it's about. It's taking sin out of our lives so that we can live in holiness and righteousness, purity. Psalm 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. I know we covered it in Psalm 119 when we were doing that with our group on Tuesday morning, but testimonies here is referring to what God has to say about himself. In other words, it's God's own testimony of who he is and what he does. what his plan is. So when David all through the Psalms refers to God's testimonies. See, we don't know anything about God except what God tells us about himself. We don't have any other way of knowing. Until he tells us, or he actually came. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See? But we don't know anything about God. But God tells us about, that's his testimonies. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and testimonies. Psalm 31:7. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities. Psalm 59:17. To you, O my strength, I will sing praise, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. It's kind of like the statement I make quite often. You can't kill a dead man. You can't bring condemnation against a dead man. A person, it doesn't matter what kind of crimes that he's committed. Once he's dead, they don't take him to court. It's done, you know. And so, once we have come into mercy, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ. Mercy has wiped it all out. Who's going to bring a judgment against me? Of course, one of the problems that we have is a lot of times people can forgive others and people can receive forgiveness from God, but they can't forgive themselves. But in 1 John it says, even if our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our hearts. So if God says he's had mercy on you and he has wiped out your sin, then you better get used to it because it's gone. You don't need to remember it because God don't remember it. Psalm 85:10. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Mercy and truth. How could it be? But you've sinned. You've come short of the glory of God. That's the truth. You've done bad things, people. Yeah. Get my preacher finger out there. Yeah. You've done horrible things.
Hail, fire, and brimstone.
And God says, but I have mercy. No, God, you can't do that. God judged them. Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Wow. What if we knew the mercy of God is far greater than judgment? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Mercy, wiping out the bottom. Grace, filling the top. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together, and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show, this is the whole reason for it all, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God said, I'm going to show all through my mercy and my grace what people thought was impossible. I'm doing it. Let it happen in your life. And then be merciful to everyone around you. They've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every time you look at someone, you can either judge them or you can be full of the Holy Spirit, which will fill you with mercy. And you'll look at them totally different. You'll look at them totally different. So mercy triumphs over judgment.